Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is Digital Learning Today, a brand new podcast from the TeacherCast Educational Network. Today, we're going to be talking to the creators of a fantastic artificial intelligence platform called ProfGym. ProfGym has been created to help school districts harness the creations that they already have and enhance them by doing some pretty cool things. We're going to talk all about that today with the creators and the co-founders. Don't forget to stick around to the end. This is a fantastic episode all about artificial intelligence, and I'm certainly glad you're here. Don't forget to head on over to teachercast.net. Our brand new website is doing some amazing things. Lots of great content, lots of great podcasts. Our blogs are coming up. And I spent the last couple of days starting to revive our TeacherCast University content. All of my workshops, my conference presentations, all of that stuff that I've been giving away for the last few years over at ISTE, I'm starting to pull that stuff out of the basement, I guess, if you will, and start to put it together. So hopefully by the next time we release an episode, we're going to be launching our TeacherCast University stuff. You can go in there. You can sign up for an online course. You can get an email campaign sent to you with all the information, stuff that you can use today to help out your students tomorrow. That's what we're here about. That's what TeacherCast is all about. And we want to say thank you once again for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. My first guest today is the co-founder and VP of content for a great company called ProfGym. I had the opportunity to meet her a few weeks ago in Florida at FETC. I want to welcome onto the show Miss Maria Wally. Maria, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
It is so great to see you again. How have you been and how are things going at ProfGym?
Things are going fast at ProfGym. The thing with AI is it moves at a million miles per hour, and you just have to stay ahead at 1,001,000 miles per hour.
You know, that's the one thing that people have been saying ever since FETC. We've done a lot of episodes on an AI and how it's being used in the classroom. And, you know, that's the one positive thing I'm hearing about AI, but it's also the one crazy thing I'm hearing is how do school districts keep in touch? I know we're going to get into all those topics today, but tell us a little bit about what ProfGym is.
Yeah, absolutely. So ProfGym essentially makes it easy for educators to create content and turns the content that the educators use AI to create and turns it into slides automatically, assessments automatically, and videos. And teachers can use this content for in-person classrooms in the form of slides, or they can use this content for any sort of online teaching they might want to do, whether it's permanent online lessons, you know, it's an online school, or if it's something that they want to do for homework or even prepare a substitute teacher lesson.
And you brought with us tonight a friend of yours. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Absolutely. Sachi Narula is my manager of content, and she manages a whole slew of teachers helping us edit our content. Because simply put, AI is great, but AI is a great first draft. It is not the teacher. And a lot of the content that we create for companies themselves or for learning platforms themselves, we have teachers review them.
Welcome to the show, Sachi. How are you today?
Hi, Jeff. I'm great. Excited to be here.
It is so great to see you. It is so great to have you both on. I want to kind of just dive right into this. Ever since the beginning of the year, we've had the opportunity on here to TeacherCast to really take a look at AI from a number of levels. The how can it be used in the classroom all the way through? How is it being used to assist certain pieces of the school district? More importantly, how can it be used for instructional coaching? How can we use it for professional development? Where would you say that we are right now with AI? Clearly it's in its infancy, but being able to be adopted by school districts, used by school districts, what would you say the state of AI is right now?
So I think educators all around are a bit cautious. They know it's there, they know it's knocking, it's going to come in, people are using it widely. Most people wonder, where would I use it? Does it replace me? How will it help me on a daily basis? I think it's very important to understand that it's here, it can help you, not just with creating content, it can also help you make personalized tracks for students. We have diverse kids with different abilities. So it kind of comes in there, gives you a first draft, you can work it around, you can tune it according to the classroom. And I know as a teacher, it really brings down the amount of work needed to get that content ready. You can do analysis, you can do so much easily. It's not that you're getting replaced, it's just that, you know, you use these tools, like we started with, you know, when Google came in, you had, you know, all of those G Suite tools and people were really anxious. Hey, I'm collaborating, I'm sharing with a lot of people. I know educators didn't really use it, but now it's widely used. So I think the moment there is a shift that, hey, it's here, it can help me, we will see that people really start using it, you know, on a daily basis. And that's, I think, the next step.
You know, one of the things that I'm seeing is, you know, many companies out there in the AI field, they're bringing their ideas, they're bringing their tools. And we even saw it at FETC, you know, my company does this, my company does that. And everybody is coming out with their ways to use it. I want to flip that question. When you're working with teachers, what are they actually asking to have AI do? What are some of the pain points that teachers are actually coming out and saying, you know, I wish it did this? Because I know there's companies with 50,000 different ways to use it, but do teachers really need that? What are you finding that teachers are actually asking for it to do?
That's a great question, particularly for Sachi.
I think teachers look at a very micro level within the classroom. I could give you an example. You have a curriculum you follow, you have a certain learning outcome you're looking for. Could be on a daily basis, could be on a weekly basis that you want to work for. Sadly, when you know, like if you're just interacting with AI for the first time, you can just give it a topic. It's going to give you a plethora of things. So if the teacher is going to spend a lot of time figuring out, hey, what is it that I really need? And you have to sift through all that. That's a pain point. You want concise, you know, content. Also, you want suggestions which really help. And at times with assessments, I think most people would wonder that, hey, where can I use this? How does it tune in into, you know, my classroom? So there are a lot of questions, and also there are a lot of instructional, you know, question marks here. How do I use this tool? So we definitely need a more, open industry practices where people share that, okay, this is what we do, but this is, you know, this is how we made it. So the moment you see the proof in the pudding, right, you see a lesson at work, that's when you know that it's really working. But I think a lot of teacher time also goes into analysis. You analyze a whole lot of data from the classroom. So if something could do that, wouldn't that be great if you had 100 kids you're teaching and you could just pick out, okay, which kid really needs my help rather than going through a bunch of papers or paperwork? That would help. And then you could tune in the content, you know, for those different levels that you yourself create. If, you know, you could kind of leverage it, it would really help.
I think one of the pain points that I think I'm hearing also from this is a lot of tools are out there, but they're all scattered. There's not really one comprehensive system. And not to toot our own horn, but that's really what we're trying to do for Prof Gym, just in the terms of content creation. Mm-hmm. We want to be the one touch that educators can use from content from the beginning, from ideation to slides to even video and interactive video. So that's where we're going. And ultimately, we love to house it all on there, and it's a place where teachers can eventually be able to analyze the data that comes in. Oh, certain students answer questions this way, other students answer these questions this way. So we're hoping to take a lot of that admin legwork out of there. But yeah, Jeff, I have a question for you. Are teachers, how many teachers are afraid of AI? Because a lot of times I get fear, and not just with teachers, but with any profession when it comes to AI.
I would probably lowball it at 80%.
Really?
Right? And even when I'm speaking to, you know, the teachers who I'm closely working with right now in my school, I've had the opportunity to ask them, you know, what do you think of this? How do you want to use it? And, you know, because their answers range from it's just one more thing to I don't know anything about that, or oh, students are just using this to cheat on. They're not understanding yet the full grasp, right? And, you know, we wrestle with what's the analogy. Is this the calculator that we're talking about? Is this the internet that we're talking about? Is this the, searching? What exactly is the AI equivalent back when those teachers were first getting started? I of course, you know, child of the 80s, remember, don't teach them how to use the calculator. You need to teach them how to do these other things. Now everybody has a calculator in their back pocket, right? And everybody has the internet in their back pocket. So I'm just throwing out a number, at least 80%. I know, again, in my school, I don't have a ton of teachers that are looking to dive into this. And when they say AI, they only think of ChatGPT. They don't have an entire catalog in their head. So when I bring up the fact that you can go into a Canva and you can erase the background, and I go, that's artificial intelligence. They go, oh, I never thought of it that way. Okay, now we're at 79%, right? Yeah. Now we're helping this out. But most of the teachers, I still believe, are thinking, you know, again, most teachers are not showing up to ISTE. Most teachers are not showing up to FETC, right? So I'm going to stick with 80% on there, because there's so many teachers that are just ChatGPT is bad or is cheating or something like that. I'm wondering, do you have a different number in mind, or how do you feel about that answer?
No, that's a fantastic answer. I think I was specifically thinking about their fears in terms of their job being replaced too. Is there any fear that you're sensing there in terms of the future of teaching?
I don't think so, because I don't think any teacher's saying that a student in middle school is never going to take English class. Right. That's not going to happen. I think that there's teachers out there that are saying, well, maybe I now have the ability to run something through a machine and it's going to automatically check for grammar and spelling and stuff, you know, that kind of an AI thing. I don't think there's any teachers that are out there that are feeling replaced by this.
Good.
That being said, coming from the music department, which I was for 20 years, you can certainly see more students are moving towards the technologies than they are towards the violins and the cellos. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can answer that question in a different way also, right? Of is AI replacing jobs? That being said too, there's so much stuff that's out there that's still unknown. I'm curious to know, when you work with school districts, what does professional development look like? And again, we're not talking FETC, go to my session, right? I'm trying to work in my district to say, can I just meet with all the teachers one day to introduce the topic of AI? What does that look like? How does that work? I'm not going to dive into an application. I'm going to talk about, well, what does generative AI stand for? What does it look like? How do you recommend school districts just start to put their toe in the water?
That's a really great question. I think a lot of it boils down to showing them how simple it could be, and also acknowledging that, look, our world is shifting. Like when you look at the history of automation, when ATMs were first introduced in the 1970s, people thought it would destroy banks or take away bank jobs and tellers. But what ended up happening was that it made it cheaper to create more bank branches. And so actually more bank jobs were created, less teller jobs specifically maybe, but more bank jobs in general. So I think about it that way, is I do think if AI is applied correctly, the teaching role is going to shift ever so slightly. And I wonder, and we hope that it shifts in a way that teachers are able to teach more, to be more of a personalized, have more personalized relationships with their students and spend less time on administrative tasks. Because Jeff, I know we discussed at FETC, teachers are drowning in administrative tasks.
Very much so. And more are coming on. And as students are finding ways to get around things, more and more stuff is being put on to teachers to learn. Do you see right now a lot of schools, I don't want to say adopting AI because it's already here, right? But I mean, do you see a lot of schools, are schools jumping in with both feet at this point in mass?
I think it really depends on the school district. We're working with a large school district in Texas, and they're very forward thinking. However, in terms of getting their individual teachers on there, they're first starting with just using the tech to create content initially. And then once the content is created, then they would give the teachers the tools to tweak it accordingly. So they're kind of cutting out maybe some of those initial AI steps. So that's the approach they're going with it. But I know Saatchi has been involved in terms of conferences specifically with teachers and showing them the initial ropes. So Saatchi, do you want to talk a little bit more to that?
So I've been to a bunch of schools here in Bombay, and the first thing that I see is people get really excited when they actually see it happening, you know. They see that, hey, this is how this really helps. A lot of schools are really forward-thinking, but they don't really know how to get there, how to help their teachers get there. And we don't really have a lot of, CPD happening at school levels. They do one conference where they invite a speaker who will show them. But I think it requires a more intrinsic approach where you have somebody who works closely, you know, with the teachers, help them figure out that, hey, you can do this too using AI. I think there are a lot of questions out there that people have, and obviously teachers do get overwhelmed because there's your kids, your students might know more about it than you. So to actually stay ahead of them, you need to constantly know, hey, okay, this tool can now do this. Okay, Canva has now come up with, you know, a math editor. Okay, I can do this as well. I can add an AI thing, or, you know, there's so many other things that are constantly coming up. And yes, the mindset about what GPT does, the thought of, hey, the kids are going to cheat. So I usually tell them, if somebody really wants to cheat, they will find ways and means. So it's not, let's not blame it on GPT. So, you know, change the way you test people, you know, change your testing methodology, ask them different questions, let them lead with the questions, you know, rather than being on the other end where you formulate, let it be a discussion, and you'll find that that really helps. And I think if you have more of such open discussions, schools will probably realize that you do need somebody to, step in and help teachers along the way. I think that could be the next step. And teachers do feel happy that, hey, this is going to make my life really easy. And now there's somebody to show it to me.
I'm curious, your work, not just in your classrooms, but in central office. As an example, I know that through artificial intelligence applications, I can ask it to write a code. I can ask it to write a spreadsheet. I can ask it to do formulas. But to get somebody who's not comfortable with that to take that step and then adopt it, right? It's easy to take somebody who's in that space and say, all right, I'm going to chat GPT. How do I build out a Chrome extension and it's running, and I'm just going to trust that it runs.
Right.
But to take somebody who is an office worker and say, look, and I'm going to talk as the coach for a second, right? I'm going to meet with that person in the finance department and say, look, I can write you a script that does this, 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 this. Yeah, that person might start to feel a little bit, oh, this is, you know, not, oh, I don't have to do this anymore, but might feel like, oh, this is replacing me, or I don't trust this, or, but this is the way we've always done it, or sometimes even the worst. my boss doesn't understand this, so I can't move forward in this direction. How do you start to move that needle in the C-level areas in addition to all the work that you're doing in the classrooms? Because it's easy to move a classroom sometimes, but you got to get everybody on top on board.
That's a really fantastic question. I think it boils back to realizing that the role of teaching is shifting and normal methodologies are not going to really cut it anymore. And I think the ability to become more one-on-one and more personalized with your student is becoming more possible. One thing I heard, it's actually an old-fashioned way of testing students, but instead of, you know, having them sit down and write a paper or, you know, do an exam, they would have a one-on-one conversation with their teacher about the material. And that is fantastic. That is one of the best ways to learn. We remember so much more when we say it. And if AI technology can create the atmosphere, the environment that can facilitate this and make it possible, because in the past, this was just simply not possible. I think that's the type of direction that we should encourage educators to go in. Now, Jeff, from a public school, you work at a public school, right?
Yep.
So from a public school perspective, how possible is that kind of level of personalization?
I believe that answer all depends on the leadership, right? And as you mentioned, there's huge school districts that their leadership is so far in the clouds, let's move things forward.
Right.
And recently, actually in our last episode of this podcast, we had a superintendent on from California of an all-digital virtual school. And that's another mentality for how to use technology, because that's all that they have. They don't have a school. They've got online. But there are other school districts that are sitting back and they're kind of waiting for the herd to move. And sometimes the herd is 7 or 8 school districts around them in their region. It really, I think, just all depends on what the leadership wants to do. I mean, I've talked to other people in our spaces where they're trying to move the needle from the classroom, but the top level down doesn't quite want to do that yet. I want to talk a little bit about how we can move that needle ourselves and how you guys are helping to solve that. Prof Jim is an amazing application that is basically allowing students and school districts and help me here, utilize the technology they have and then they're advancing it. For instance, you mentioned it can help create better slides. What does a school district need to do to start to utilize and to sign up for Prof Jim?
Well, there's a lot of different starting points that they could do. One of them is creating new content. I know a lot of state standards are changing depending on which state you are in, and those are constantly changing. And one thing that AI can really help create is help you create content or use content that you used in the past and align it to specific state standards that you might now need to change or shift to. So that's one way that you can, you know, dip your toe in. And that trickles down everywhere else. And then once you have a place to house a lot of this content, like on Prof Jim, for example, if the school district empowered their teachers with pre-created slides and the ability to turn these slides into video, if it's already made and it's just a matter of using the AI to tweak what's there and their own intelligence to tweak what's there, I think that's an easier way in the door rather than, hey, look at this application, use it.
And does it matter what type of technology is currently in their school district? Microsoft stuff, Google stuff, Apple stuff. Does it matter what the school district is using?
No. We export as PDFs or PowerPoints or Google Slides, if you're just simply using the good old slides. And our videos can really go anywhere. they can be housed on our site if you want them to be interactive, and you can insert them in various platforms, or you can just download it as a video itself.
One of the topics that has come up a lot when it comes to working with supporting, I don't even know what the right words are, artificial intelligence applications, companies, is privacy. And I maybe you could help clear some of this stuff up. Anytime a school district is working with a company, there needs to be a privacy agreement.
Absolutely.
We all know that. But when you're working with a company who's getting their artificial intelligence from somewhere else, am I thinking this right? And I we've talked about this in a few shows. Have you ever heard of a school district or a company needing to get two privacy agreements, one between the district and the ed tech company, and then one between the district and wherever the AI is actually being generated from? Or is one privacy agreement going to cover everybody's artificial intelligence?
I really would say it depends on the company you're working with. With us, you just really would need one, because it really depends on the starting point of the content. For example, we work with textbook publishers, and you can simply download the textbook, and we can use that as our kind of our to be the foundation of how you create the content. And we really need to do that when it comes to higher learning too. GPT-4 is great, but when it comes to very specific subjects, you need specific textbooks. So once that's created, like that is locked in. No one our AI is not learning from that content. Rather, the AI that we're creating is completely separate. So I don't know if that answers your question. However, for other content, you can start with GPT-4 as your base, for, you know, more K through 12 things. But again, Sashi's team is committed to making sure that you constantly are reviewing that, because it can hallucinate. But then again, also teachers can hallucinate too. So
I would imagine being in a company that is seriously on that cutting edge, it's got to be fun work. Like, I know there's a lot of hard work putting this stuff together, but, you know, Sashi, working with school districts, working with students, working with teachers, getting a chance to see what this is actually looking like, being that fulcrum of, you know, you're obviously in the corporate world, but you're also in the classroom still. What's the day-to-day like for you guys? It has to be fun work to see everything fully going into the classroom and making a difference.
The most amazing thing is something that could have taken me hours or days, I can actually get it done in 20 minutes tops. The second thing is, you know, how you can really innovate in, you know, in a space where, you know, you're getting stuff from somewhere, let's say you have an input, but the sheer beauty of what it can do, I think only people on our team right now, we can actually see it happening, the true capability of what it can do. And when you see students using, you know, our products or looking at the videos, or even, you know, managements, you know, from these companies looking at it, they go, wow, simply because, you know, it is so amazing that you can get so much done so easily, and you can tweak it so much. So at the end of the day, you just sit back, relax, watch it, like Maria says, get your popcorn, start watching, and then you become that teacher and you're like, hey, maybe I might want to change it. Hey, maybe the next batch I could try something. So it's more like, you know, innovative cooking, you know, tech cooking, I would call it. And the best thing is it changes every day. Yeah. And with every new topic, and I think I've learned so much just by creating, watching, and working with a team of people. It's amazing. I think best job ever.
I want to echo that. You know, I'm currently working with middle schoolers and starting to have those conversations with our school district of, you know, do we have an AI policy? What do you think? Can I try these different things? And I remember one of the first days we had class, I'm showing the students a particular lesson here about how to write a biography or something. And next thing I know, the kids are all on this particular AI website and they're not cheating. They're trying to figure out how to give me what I need. There's no way for them to cheat because there's no way that an AI bot can write your biography about you, you know, you specifically. But just the fact that I was watching them try to skirt my system and try to make sure that they were doing the right thing. I don't even know if this is making sense right now, but it was really cool to watch them try to learn. And it was really cool to try to watch them.
Yeah, they're like adapting different skills that we didn't, our starting point was so different. And the way the starting point is changing. And because of that, the way we question things is changing.
I think this is critical thinking for, you know, the current generation, because the tools are there. How can you use it and make it still different, you know, differential use of the same thing? And I think the moment the teachers pick that up and they start, you know, creating differentiated ways of testing or for, you know, involving each and every child in the class, like your homework could be, you know, recording a podcast, you know, it could be so many other things you could do. And the kids can use AI. We know it's there on every platform in every way, even every web browser you use, you know, there's AI already there. But I think it's really exciting that, you know, they have these critical as well as tech skills. And I think one thing I tell teachers, your kids might know something better, like using these tools. So get them to be, you know, the tech mentors for the class. So the moment you need help, these other guys will come in and help you, you know. And I think that that's a great, you know, partnership to have in the classroom. So I hope teachers realize that you can work as a group. Yes, you're the leader, but you get them all along. They all bring in different perspectives. They will bring in their own tool that, hey, if, you know, I use this, I think this will work great for our next class. And I think the more open you are, it's going to be great going down this lane.
Talking today to Sachi Narula and Maria Wally from a great company called ProfGym, all about how AI can be brought into your school district. I want to say thank you guys for your time. Before I let you go, I want to do a call to action here. If a school district is interested in taking that first step, you know, trying out a ChatGPT, trying out some of the AI features in some of these, you know, ed tech applications, trying, you know, to sign up for ProfGym and see where we're going with everything. What advice do you have for school districts that are just trying to put their toe and make a little ripple?
Well, one thing they can do is they can connect with us and simply book a demo. And we can walk them through our capabilities. And really, it ultimately boils down to, what does your school district need help with? AI can help you. It's just about finding the right logical pathway of what you need. Find what your school district is struggling with the most. And if it is in the arena of creating questions or content or even just managing the classroom, AI, there is an AI solution out there. It's just about finding the right one.
If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about today, I'm making sure that all of our show notes are up to date. You can check it out over at Digital Learning Today on the podcast. And all of the show notes are going to be over on teachercast.net. Sachi and Maria, I want to say thank you so much. Please come back on, especially as we get closer to ISTE. I would love to see this conversation. I would be willing to bet, let's see, it's March now. If we had the same conversation in June, there'd be 1,000 more things that we can talk about on AI. So please, please, please come on back on the show. And we'd love to have you to continue this conversation.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
For more information about ProfGym, you can head on over to profgym.com. That's ProfGym.com. And again, we're going to have all the links to everything over in our show notes over at teachercast.net. And that wraps up this episode of Digital Learning Today. On behalf of Maria and Sachi and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
you've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.